This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get reward points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Hello and welcome to the Crystal Palace Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio. You're with me, Johnny Burrow, and James Howard, Mitch Thomas and DR Kernaz of Back of the Nest. And of course, we're talking this week about Aaron Wan-Bissaka. We said it in the lead up to the summer that absolutely crucial for Palace to hold on to those key men, Wilf and AWB. United have bid 40 mil, Palace want 60. Is he Old Trafford bound?
I think so, potentially. Apparently, there was another bid that came in yesterday or something that Sky Sports reported. So
I've only heard the 40 million.
That's
bid.
What yeah, I've heard. Yeah, Palace yeah. have rejected that, haven't they? Yeah, too bleeding right too.
Yeah, and then I heard that apparently yesterday there was another bid.
More than 40 million.
Yeah, they're going to improve. Yeah, another improved offer, and that's why I feel like and the odds have cut down on him.
Going.
So,
Do you know what? It's still, you know, what is he worth? And I keep saying this. You've got Van Dijk that went for 75 million a year or so ago. Centre back is a centre back more valuable than a right back. There's an argument there and a debate on that. Plus the fact age. Van Dijk was 25. Wan-Bissaka's only 21.
Yeah.
You've got two arguments there to say that he's got to be worth 75 million or more.
So would you not accept the club selling him for 60, James?
If I was Steve Parish or whoever in the club at the moment, I would be seriously thinking we're sitting on an asset here, yeah? If he doesn't want to go, and he doesn't sound like the player that's throwing his toys out of the pram and saying, I want to go, he's got 3 years on his contract. Let keep him for another season. Let him get into the England team. He'll be worth more money and he'll be good for us next season. Because let's face it, we're probably only going to be able to hold on to Zaha for one more season. So let's have a really good season next season and see what we can do and then think about it.
I think the money they're putting out there is okay for Wan-Bissaka. I understand what you're saying by Van Dijk, but I feel like in terms of Wan-Bissaka with fullbacks, I genuinely do think that the prices are different to centre backs. I don't know what it exactly is, but
well, they're seen 50, as a more fundamental part
exactly.
of the team, aren't
and,
they?
And if you actually 60 million, which is what we want, and we don't need to sell it for 40 million. The reports were that we rejected a 40 million bid.
Good.
So yeah, exactly. So if they give us 60 million, then I think that's a fair price. And you have to consider the fact that, yes, Wan-Bissaka, I would love to have Wan-Bissaka and Wilf and all the great players, but the financial situation that we always talk about,
that's right.
It'll put us in a better position, and that's why I feel like, yes, it'll be bad on us if Wan-Bissaka leaves, but I would rather Wan-Bissaka leaves than Wilfried Zaha. And if it comes to it, yeah, I'd love them both to stay, but if you had to pick between the one and two, I'd rather sell Wan-Bissaka than Zaha, me personally, even though, you know, I love them both greatly.
Yeah, it's just sad for Wan-Bissaka's development. I think he should stay longer and, you know, learn his trade. and his craft at Palace. He's going to get a game every week. He's not going to be bench warming, which is likely at one of the bigger clubs. And
well, is it likely at United? If you look at how they are in terms of their stock for right backs, Valencia is aging. Rumour has it he could be off to Bex's Inter Miami side. Diogo Dalo obviously hasn't been judged to be good enough. So if they spend 60 on AWB, I think he's going in as first choice.
Yeah, he's starting. But the only problem
is... He needs to.
Yeah, the only problem is the situation at United, is it the best for him? Because the club is right now a shambles, in all honesty, where it seems like there isn't a clear direction. So maybe personally for Wan-Bissaka, I don't know if it would be the best move. I'd rather
he
would
leave...
I
wouldn't say that, because I mean, on Monday Night Football and that, sort of, Gary Neville has been talking about Manchester United concentrating now, getting back to what they did under Ferguson and concentrating on younger talent and sort of developing, you know, a new team. They realise that they're probably not going to win the league for at least 3 years or more, so they're building sort of for the medium to long term. Getting players in like Wan-Bissaka, that sort of age and that ilk as well, breakthrough players that are proven, which he is now. Mm. Solskjaer and the hierarchy at Man United are looking to rebuild. But they're not my problem. That's their problem. I don't want Wan-Bissaka to go. I think he needs at least another season at Selhurst Park to really hone his craft. And it's good for us. But on the other hand, like you said, I understand the financial constraints the club are in.
If he stays on for another season, we could definitely sell him on for more if he continues playing as he has done before.
Yes.
But it's that thing
there is a risk, Dio. I'll have to say, play devil's advocate, you know, what happens if he has a Balassi or something, you know, and does his ligament.
Yeah, exactly. That's
so
what...
that we made money out of Balassi, quite a lot of money, and then suddenly he gets into the Everton team and he ruptures his anterior cruciate ligament.
Even before that, I feel like that was a brilliant deal.
And that worked out to be a very, very good deal.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I get what you're saying. There has to be a price. And I think what Johnny was saying, what would you sell him for? I'm just reluctant to sell him for less than what Van Dijk went for, because I'm trying to value him, right? Mm. And if I think back 18 months ago, or when it was that they bought, Liverpool bought Van Dijk, they bought him for 75 million. And I get your argument about the centre-back and right-back, and you've put that across very well. However, Wan-Bissaka is still 5 years younger, and you know, I think 5 years, you know, that,
yeah, but he's not proven international, isn't he? Van Dijk was,
but he will be, and that's what I'm saying. If he plays for one more season, I feel like we could sell him on for more. But it's the fact that it depends what the club are really after, because you want to keep Zaha at the club as long as he can, and if you could get that money and use it carefully,
to
improve the squad.
This is my concern about these big deals that Palace are doing. Are we just paying back debts like Benteke and the rest of it, playing catch up, or is that money going to be put to good use?
Mm.
And that's my concern.
Well, in terms of how much you get for Aaron Wan-Bissaka, there's a different point there as well, which is, unlike Van Dijk, he's English. He counts as a homegrown player and therefore comes at a premium for these sides. Do you think that United are going to make a second bid, or are they going to be scared off by that rejection?
No, and looking at their sort of supporters' blogs and everything, I forget the guy's name, but it's a funny blog, but he's just saying, look, just pay the money for that very reason. His age, he's proven himself over a season.
So you think
and he's English. He's saying it's premium on every count. Just pay the money. They want 60 million, pay the money. And that's a Man United sport speaking.
And they'll get
because
him tied
of the
up for a long
of that
contract.
Position.
They'll get him tied up in a long contract. And you look, you know, he's 20, 21, so he's got 10 years left in him. So, you know, even if he went for 100 million, that's £10 million a year for a player. That's not a lot. When you think this guy's going to be an international, he's the best right back in. Arguably, he's the best right back we've got in England. After the last England performance, he should have been playing, to be honest with you.
The Liverpool lads ahead of him.
Yeah,
but
he should be in the squad.
So,
the counter-argument is, you know, we're not paying that much because he's only had one season. Is he a one-season wonder?
I don't think so. He's not one season.
He's done it back into the last season. You've got to realise he was chucked in at the deep ends. That's probably our hardest fixture programme at that stage. I think it was against four or five top five clubs. clubs, wasn't it?
It's not
when
a fluke.
They threw him in.
Yeah, it's not like he's had five. Yeah. He jumped in against Tottenham, Chelsea.
That's
you know,
that Tottenham game. He was throwing dummies, step overs, nutmegging people, and that's his first second game.
And you can,
and it's like, who the hell is this guy?
Yeah, you could tell by the teams that's actually been linked with him.
It's like, whoa.
Exactly. I was shocked as well.
No, he's what? Hey, he's one of our. Get but, the rest of the academy playing if they're like that.
Yeah, and you can see by the recognition from other clubs as well. It's not only United, it's so many other
and
clubs.
And that was from the back end of last season. Exactly. This has been going on.
So yeah, I think clubs realise that it's not fluke and he's got the talent. It's just the fact that, you know, does Palace want to send him right now?
If he does go, and of course there is the very slight possibility that Palace accept a bid and Wan-Bissaka says, well, I'm not going anywhere.
That'll be the first.
if he does go, would you resent him leaving so early?
No. At the end of the day, you know, especially our academy, homegrown players, if they move on to bigger and better things, and, you know, they do it like the likes of Kenny Sansom or whoever, then you've just got to admire them. And, you know, it's quite nice. When I'm in Huddersfield or if I'm in central London or wherever, or if I'm abroad talking to my American cousins that have just learnt about football, and you say, they're watching him on TV, and I say, that's one of our academy players there. And it's really nice. I don't know how you guys feel. It's the reality of football these days. Players do move on. They've got short careers. They've got to maximise them.
Mm. Yeah, you can't not allow a player to have that opportunity. And, if you get the right money for him, it's made us a tidy profit.
Yeah.
Well, coming up later on the show, we'll find out how that tidy profit could be spent, who AWB's potential replacement could be. But coming up, let's get the thoughts of Neil Shipperley, former Palace striker, on the future of one of its stars.
This is Love Sport.
You are listening to the Crystal Palace Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio with me, Johnny Burrow, and of course James Howard, Mitch Thomas and DR Kernaz of Back of the Nest. And I'm delighted to say that we're also joined on the line by Neil Shipperley, the former Palace striker. Good evening, Neil. Thanks for joining us. We've been talking about Aaron Wan-Bissaka this evening. Do you think he's off to United?
Well, it looks that way, doesn't it? I mean, he's had one good season. I think his price will rise. I mean, he's an outstanding prospect, that's for sure. But I think for Crystal Palace, money's going to do all the talking here. And I think if the price is right, I think Palace will sell.
Yeah, hi Neil, James here. I'm just wondering. We're trying to put a value on him at the moment, and I don't know if you were listening earlier, but I've said, look, you look at what Van Dijk went for, 75 million, and he was, you know, 5 years older. Yeah, okay, he's a centre back, but yeah, you know, Wan-Bissaka's an English person. So, what would you say is everyone's got a price, obviously, but what would you say that would you be reasonably happy for him to go for?
I think he's going to go for about 50, and I know people have got all their opinions, and that's what's great about football. Van Dijk, I think, is. Would he go for sort of 90 or whatever? He's a centre-half. I think Bissaka's a right-back, and unfortunately, they're never really going to get the big... I mean, I know Kyle Walker went for big money, but they're not normally your star players. And for Palace to get 50 million for a lad that's come through the youth and only played a season, I think we'll be good business, because from what I understand, Palace need the money.
Do you think it'll be better if Palace actually hold out and wait till next season where his value might increase, or what do you think about the situation? Because we were debating it and we were saying how if Palace do hold out, maybe his value might increase by another 10 million once he actually plays for the national team. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think you're spot on, but I just feel it's a bit of a weird. You know, we want to build a new stand. I know that's a little bit delayed through the council about travel or whatever. But I just think if we were sitting here and Palace as a club, we knew we had investors coming in, I don't even think we'd be looking to sell him, to be honest. And I think you're right. I think he's only going to get better. He's young, so you're right in what you're saying. But I just feel. One of them's got to go, Wilf or Bissaka, and and, you know, hopefully not both, but I think something's going to happen, and it just looks like it's going to be Bissaka. And if we can keep Zaha, then unfortunately, you know, he is a right back, and we do our cover with Joel Ward. So I could understand. I know the fans ain't going to like it, but I could understand why Palace are looking like they might go down this way.
Do you think Wilf is going to stay, Neil?
I think if Bissaka goes, I don't think they can get away with selling both. I think the fans would go mental if we sold both. So I'm hoping, for the fans' sake, if this one does go through, then that should be it. You know, you've got the money, or you've got a good size amount of money, and hopefully that would keep everyone happy for the moment.
Just Wan-Bissaka, and he's linked with Man United. Do you think that's the right club for him?
Well, I mean, it is Man United. I know they're not in the Liverpools and the Man Cities, but Man United are a massive club. So, is it the right club? Only time will tell. I mean, when Wilf went there a few years ago, when he was a young lad, it didn't work out, but it's different positions. So, I think if it does happen, I would just like to see the boy play, obviously, and just mature without being pushed ridiculously sort of into something. I mean, let's not forget, we only knew about this kid because we had no one else to play.
That's right.
And that's the beauty of football. You know, he's come from nowhere. And so you could look, you know, a selling point. Maybe he's, I mean, I don't think it will be, but if it's a one-season wonder, and for whatever reason, then we could be looking back going, well, he did fulfill his potential and we got 50, 60 million for him. But I don't think it's going to go that way. But it's all, you know, it could.
In terms of the club's strikers, Neil, you're obviously a man who knows a thing or two about scoring goals. How do you see the current situation? Should Batshuayi come back? Can Benteke and Wickham do it? Would you be looking elsewhere?
Right, as an ex-centre forward and a fan, I was hoping the club are going to go down the routes of trying to get someone in like a Mitrovic. But I think things have got to happen. You know, Benteke's on big money. So I think the club needed to get rid of him for a fee and get him off the wage bill. And then you might have been looking for something else. Batshuayi, if we can afford him, I would say all day long, let's him have another season. But that's all up in the air because of the Chelsea transfer. So for forward-wise, there's still a lot of things to be answered. Conor Wickham, he's fit and stays fit for a long time to get his match fitness. He could be the answer. But from what I've seen, I'd have Batshuayi over Benteke all day long. But I just feel if we can't get Batshuayi, then we're going to try and have to freshen something up. I think the fans want a number one centre forward where, you know, he is the man. And I think we've been missing that for a while.
Yeah, Neil, I know I see you at the club quite a lot, you know, obviously behind the scenes and on the hospitality stuff and helping out. I mean, I don't know if you hear much, but do you really feel that Palace is in a really bad financial situation now, that they would have to sell, you know, one big player this at the end of this or before the season? Because I'm not so sure we're in that such a big state that we really have to sell. As like DR was saying, you know, if we hang on another season, these players, you know, like Wan-Bissaka and even Zaha is going to possibly go up in value. So it's an asset that we're holding on to. We do run the risk that they get a serious injury. But I think with Aaron Wan-Bissaka and Zaha, they're still excellent players and they still retain their value. And I personally think they'll increase. But are we, yeah, so do you think we are in some problems financially?
Well, first of all, I'm only going on what I'm assuming. You know, I don't know any inside information. But frankly, if the club didn't need to sell, we'd be sort of just saying to people, go away. You know, just go away. They're not for sale. The fact that that's not happened, and we're sort of playing the business game of, you know, you have a hit, you know, we're thinking about it, come back like the bidding war. Mm. I think because we're having that, then I think the club are looking to sell.
So is there dialogue going on at the moment then? Is that what's happening? Is it the actual dialogue that's going on, or is it just
there must be press speculation?
I mean, if you can get a bid coming.
But... Yeah, but if United have made a bid and Palace have rejected it and said, listen, it's 60, there's got to be a dialogue, hasn't there?
Okay.
Unless the journalists are just making it up, but normally these things don't come from nowhere, do they, Neil?
No, and if it was rubbish, the club would you know, they'd poo-poo it, you know, that they would say this is absolutely rubbish. Aaron Bissaka's on a deal he's not for sale. I haven't heard any of that. So until we start getting that, then I'm assuming that, you know, we want the best price, and if it ticks the boxes, then we are going to sell.
Hi, Neil. Mitch here. One missing factor. The radio silence from Aaron Wan-Bissaka for a start. Also, is it a good time in his development for him to be moving to Manchester United? I think not really, but obviously, like you say, the club obviously need the money and they've got to do the deal. And at the end of the day, they make the decision, not us, the supporters.
Yes, with Bissaka, I think everyone's right in what we're saying here. I would like to see the kid stay for another year. I think he's going to get better. Yeah. You know, you have to learn the game, and I don't think he's got lucky for a season. But what a place to learn your game at a club where the fans love you. Yeah. You're not going to be brought under a lot of pressure, you know what I mean? Because he does make mistakes. The kid is human, but he's learning about that. I mean, I've noticed recently, going forward, he's getting better going forward. And whereas the start of the season, he was a little bit hesitant going forward. So his game is progressing. So he should really stay. Yeah, I'd love him to stay, but I just feel...
And he's guaranteed the game time here. I mean, obviously, the big fee would probably dictate that maybe he'd be a starter at Man United, maybe not, but...
I think what I've heard of him, he's quite a quiet kid. So, I don't think he'd be pushing for this move at all.
No.
I think he's quite grounded and I think he's enjoying his football. This is a shame in football sometimes where you kind of get bullied into going. Like, I mean, he doesn't have to go at the end of the day. If he really wants to stand his ground and go, look, I'm enjoying the football. Yeah. I want another year at least. And then that'd be great, because that means he's you know, because you don't know what the agents are saying nowadays. They might be going, Man United. But this could fall a little bit flat for him. And that's not what we don't want for the kids. You know, he's close. He's unlucky that he's got a couple of right-backs in front of him. Otherwise, you know, he'd be in the England squad for sure. He's definitely in the top three in the country.
Well, his stats are actually the top in Europe, defensive-wise, and actually players beating him. He should be in the England squad, even if he's not getting on as a starter. Similar problem to Zaha, actually, funny enough. And it's just a shame that the managers that at the time, both Hodgson and Southgate, are ex-Palace Academy players. But hey-ho.
As a final one, Neil, if Aaron Wan-Bissaka does go, how important is it that the bulk of that money gets reinvested back into the squad?
Really important. Because, I mean, we can't keep getting away with this. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but we spent $8 million or so last year on Czech. Kiati, that was the only fee we paid out.
Good.
We paid about $3 million for the loan, which we were desperate for Batshuayi.
Yeah.
But we're not spending a lot of money. Now, money's not everything, but I guarantee you all these clubs that are coming up, I mean, look at Wolves now, they've just gone whoosh. They've gone into another level because they're competing.
Yeah.
It doesn't promise you that. But you do need to have some kind of backing, and I'm not seeing that with Palace. So it's quite worrying that we're asking Roy and Ray to do the job, which sometimes I don't get a lot of credit for. We're not going to keep getting away with not building the squad in size and depth of what we should be doing in the Premier League.
I can't agree more with you, Lee. Neil, sorry. point I was saying, you know, we've basically, since we've been up, we've been in a relegation struggle every single season, as far as I'm concerned. And maybe towards the end, we've pulled away and we found our rhythm and we've ended up mid-table with a late flush. But to be honest, for the majority of the season, every season, we've been in a relegation struggle. And we do need to build around the players that we've got, like Zaha, Wan-Bissaka, Townsend, and the rest.
Neil, it's been lovely speaking to you as ever. Thanks ever so much for your time. Neil Shipley.
Take care, chaps.
Cheers, Neil.
Cheers, Neil.
Neil Shipley, their ex-Palace striker, and I think a very sensible approach to the potential exits from Selhurst Park this summer. But let's talk about some potential entrances. We've talked a lot about the fact that Aaron Wan-Bissaka could be off, but if he does go, who should replace him? Don't go anywhere.
This is Love Sport.
It's the Crystal Palace Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio with me, Johnny Burrow, and the guys from Back of the Nest. Let's talk about potential replacements for Aaron Wan-Bissaka if it does come to that. We're seeing the club very heavily linked with the young Norwich fullback Max Aarons. Would that be a good piece of business?
Yeah, he's a young right back who's done well in the Championship. Of course, it's only been a season just like Wan-Bissaka, and it's going to, the difference is that he's going to end up playing in the Premier League, which is of course different. You see with Dwight Gayle how well he does in the Championship compared to the Premier League. So he's a young talent, and he's actually, you know, I wouldn't be too upset if we went for him, because end of the day we can still develop him, and he has got talent in him. He has been linked with other clubs before Palace, such as Tottenham before. So it is good signs. If we're going to sell Wan-Bissaka and get player like Max, I think, yeah, that is a good thing.
Yeah, I'll definitely rather go for a younger player, to be honest with you. I think we've, in the past, tended to go on for players that have cost quite a bit of money and have been at the wrong end of 30. And I know the papers were suggesting Nathaniel Clyne coming back to Palace. And I think he's getting on a bit now, end of 29 or something, but I definitely would rather go for someone younger, and also, as you said earlier, try and bring in someone from the academy again.
Do you think Max Aarons is good enough, though? Because he is still a teenager, and not every teenage fullback is going to be an Aaron Wan-Bissaka.
From what he's shown, yeah, he is good enough, but we don't know in the Premier League because we haven't seen that yet. But from early signs, so yeah, he looks like a decent player.
We haven't seen definite suggestions, but again, he's English. Norwich have come up, which puts them in a relatively stronger negotiating position. They're not going to sell him for less than £20 million, because you've got to also consider that any negotiation that Palace try and do with any club, if they sell Wan-Bissaka, that club knows full well that you've got a big, fat £60 million sat there. So they're going to take you for all you're worth.
Has he been commanding the position at Norwich
season?
So yeah, they're going to have to replace him.
Yeah. And is he an under 21, under 18, international under 19?
I think he is.
He's got a bit of experience, I think. Yeah.
Previously, he's been linked with Manchester United. He's been linked with Tottenham. He's been linked with Red Bull Leipzig in Germany as well. These are top sides. Yes. So he is a guy with potential.
I mean, if we're talking about, you know, fullbacks, as we said earlier, you know, not being commanding as much as a salary or wage, a price as a centre-back. And then people are saying, like Neil saying, you know, well, Aaron Wan-Bissaka, we'd probably let him go for 50 million. You look at a Championship striker, these days they're going to cost you 10 to 15 million. So really, we shouldn't be paying, I would have thought, more than about 5 or 7 million for him.
No, I disagree.
You think you should pay more?
Yeah, I think so. I think they'll demand more. 5, 7 million is nothing nowadays. I feel like they're in the Premier League.
Right. You know, they've just come up. He's an England international,
a lot of money,
under 21, whatever. But he's English as well, and that's a premium in its own right.
Forget about everything else. He's talented. There is talent there as well. You have to consider that as well. I think 20 to 25 million sounds about right for a player like him. But the question is, would he want to come to Palace? There's that also, because it's not like he's going to take a massive jump from Norwich. It's not like he's going to join a top six side.
No, that's
true. We're more stable in the Premier League nowadays, even though we're fighting relegation every season, but we still managed to survive for how long and how many battles. But
if we're going to be spending that sort of money, I would rather use that money, personal opinion, I'd rather use that money for Batshuayi or a striker, because I don't think we're going to have that much money floating around, to be honest.
With the cost of the new stand,
I don't want to put all the money on a fullback. Yeah. That's just my opinion. I mean, we've got Wardy at right back.
We've got
Kelly plays right back.
Yep.
And we're also looking at possibly renegotiating with Papsuari if he's fit. I don't know. I don't know. That's why I said, you know, I'd be reluctant to pay more than about 5 million for 7 million for a Championship fullback.
Papsuari is a left back, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm just thinking
long-term potential, I see him playing centre-back. He played there one or two games and he was decent there.
I can see him as a centre-back.
So I feel like if we do sell Wan-Bissaka, we still need to invest. Whether that's Max Aarons, I don't know, but it sounds good. If we're looking at players like Max, then the club is on the right path.
What about looking at a more experienced replacement? We're hearing that Tottenham might be looking to get rid of one or both of their fullbacks this season. What about Kieran Trippier? Aim high.
I would rather...
Yeah, but how much are we going to have to pay for him, though?
25.
I'd rather pay 25 for Max Aarons than Kieran Trippier. I feel like experience is needed, but we've got enough experience in the squad. I'd rather go with the younger talent who has bigger potential...
I've got to agree with you because we've got Wardy there that can play there anyway.
Yeah, I feel like too much experience is. I'd rather go with more potential.
Yeah, we've got the experience.
I do agree with you, but I don't agree on the price. I just think 25 million.
It's like that. It's not. It won't go for
Premier. But we'll walk away. Just say no. It's not worth it.
Then we won't have a right back.
Well, hang on a minute. How good is Joel Ward? Because if we're dealing with a situation where he can fill in and do a job there, is there an argument that you go, you know what, Wardy, welcome back to the side, and we're now in a position where we can strengthen elsewhere?
But I still feel like it doesn't... You look at Van Aanholt with the left-back position. We've been talking about how we're lacking numbers and as left-backs, and his impact his performance. With Joel Ward, he's even when Wan-Bissaka is there, when he has played, he hasn't played up to par, in my opinion, in the right-back position. So, regardless of what happens, and we still need to invest on a right-back, either bring someone from the academy, that's the cheapest option. And
but that's madness, dear. Yeah. I feel like you guys have a slightly clouded judgment of how good teenage fullbacks are going to be.
Mm. Yeah.
Completely understandably, because you've had this once-in-a-generation talent.
I'm saying if there is someone who's decent, who's shown potential, which I don't know personally, but if there is, then yes, bring him. But the option that I would go with is just replace him and get someone like Max Aarons, which makes sense. He's another young right-back, and of course, he's not Wan-Bissaka level, but there is potential there for him to be a very decent Premier League player.
And would you spend the rest of that money on the rest of the team? Because otherwise you've just weakened.
Yeah, I would. Go for Batshuayi, really. That's my other priority.
Yeah, it would be nice to spend the 60 million on the squad. It ain't going to happen.
Yeah, and I think that's true, as well.
We've got the stand to think about investing in the academy. Quite important. I mean, really, that's another thing. I just hope we're developing a structure where the likes of Klein and Zaha and Wan-Bissaka are not one in generation or one in 10 years.
I think we are.
Occurrence.
Mitch, was down the road from you and me. The Coper's Cope. They've been buying up that land.
Yeah,
from
I feel
goals.
Like
they are investing a lot of money.
Fine, but get if they're good enough, start getting them in the first team squad and start getting them playing, because I really don't see a proper career path for these players. And then they're coming through by chance. They're not coming through in a structured manner.
It's hard, though. You can't say, oh, he's good. And play. Look at Wan-Bissaka. Look how brilliant he is, but we didn't give him the opportunity until players got injured.
It's because we had no choice. Our backs were against the wall. We had to throw him in.
But then again, you can argue that Wan-Bissaka was one in a, you know, it's not going to happen. Yeah, generation.
Yeah. Oh, so every 10 years I worked it out.
One in 10 years.
Through the academy.
So, yeah, me personally,
Klein and the rest of it.
I feel like there's fans who just want academy players to play just for the sake of it. Right. I don't agree. I feel like if they are good enough, they will play. But if they're not good enough, there's no point forcing it.
You can't force it, but I think what Mitch is trying to say and what I tend to agree with is you can ease in one player at a time. Yeah. Now, I agree with you, an opposition manager will target that as a weak link, yeah? But he could target other players as a weak link in our team. Benteke,
like
for example, last season.
Van Aanholt
weak,
this season
weak link.
Has been targeted.
But in terms of easing him in, so how are you going to do that? Do you start him or do you bring him off the bench? That's another thing, because we've seen with substitutions last season, Roy's not a massive fan of them. Mm. So the likelihood of that happening, of a young player coming off the bench and Roy ease him in into the squad, I don't see that happening at all.
Yeah, but this is a process. If we are developing a structure for the academy, it's a 3-5 year program, and in that time, to be honest, I don't see Roy Hodgson being the manager in 3-5 years time. So
I remember quite a few years ago, might be a little bit before your time, DR, but I remember when Terry Venables was manager of Palace for the second time, out of the blue over the summer, he picked Hayden Mullins,
yes.
Academy, straight yes. in the team, and he was brilliant, boom. Consistent the whole season. It can be done.
Yeah.
But there again, yeah, but you've got to look at where Terry Venables is coming and his pedigree, and he could spot talent, and he knew it for what it was. And bearing in mind, with the help of Malcolm Allison in the 70s, you know, that team of the 80s that won the Youth Cup and produced 6, 7, 8 regular first-team players out of our academy, and to think that we haven't done anything since. It's a crime. Mm.
It is different. Yeah. I'm going to leave you with one final question on Aaron Wan-Bissaka, which is, if him going to United means you get one more year of Wilfred Zaha, will you accept that?
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
So if he doesn't go, does Zaha leave?
Let's assume that if he goes, Zaha definitely stays. Is that all right?
Yeah. I feel like Zaha...
You've got no choice, really, have you? They both can't go. That'd be horrendous.
So you'd be willing to sacrifice AWB to keep Will?
I feel not like willing.
Yeah.
We've still got... within the confines of realistic decision-making.
We've still got decent defenders in Tompkins and Saka, whereas Wilf, I feel like he orchestrates our attack, and losing him...
Yeah.
Losing Wilf will be massive unless you get a proper replacement, which I'm not too sure who we could bring in.
Mm. Eden Hazard, maybe?
Well, he's less good, so we're not doing that. Talking of Wilfred Zaha, he has spoken very openly, very candidly this week about racist abuse in the English game. He said he suffers extreme vitriol every single week. Coming up, is this something you guys have noticed at Selhurst Park? And if so, how is it something that we can combat? What?
This is Love
Sport. The Crystal Palace fan show here on Love Sport Radio. In a week where Wilfred Zaha has said he's subjected to racist abuse in nearly every game. He says he's called a monkey, often called things even more horrible than that. This obviously isn't a problem that is unique to Crystal Palace. I think we'd assume he's often getting it from away fans as well. But is this something you guys have ever seen or directly been on the receiving end of at a game of football?
It's not the game, it's social media that does this. I feel like people go on social media and they feel like they could cover their identity and just let it out.
So-called keyboard warriors. Yeah,
and you can see it on social media. You could go on Wilfred Zaha's post and you could go in the comment section, and at times he selects people and puts on his story so you can see it as well. But there are, you know, he's been targeted for ages, and nothing will change unless authorities do something about it, because people are getting away with it. What, no one has any fear of doing these kinds of actions, and that's the most worrying thing about it.
I think he's also, I do agree with you that, because I've witnessed it, but I'm surprised, because he has come out and said he's experiencing it at matches, and it's obviously away matches.
Or at home matches from away fans.
Yeah.
And I suppose very occasionally from Palace fans as well. We can't rule that out.
I mean, I haven't seen it. If something like that happened between Palace fans, we would 100% know. I don't feel like it was in a Palace section. He would say that as well, and the club would target people.
But I think of, you know, players coming to Palace from other teams. And I think if somebody near me was to shout out something, you know, I would have a word with someone.
But the thing is, it's so hard for us to know in a away section, because I could barely hear the person on my right. Mm-hmm. So I won't be able to hear one person shouting insulting comments to Wilfred Zaha in a away section. So I don't think he's lying, because he's shown the comments that people who just hide their identity online and just put racial slurs at him. I've seen it happen. He's not lying. But of course, if you're asking me whether I witnessed it firsthand, I haven't, because it's extremely hard. The stadium is just extremely loud.
Any of you three noticed this at all?
I haven't, no.
Noticed what exactly?
Noticed racist abuse of either players or fans by supporters at a football match.
Not for a number of years.
In the last 5 years?
So. No.
Okay.
Yeah, not around me.
So it clearly is still happening, but not in the Palace End. But
It does happen in Palace End. Apparently, in a Holmesdale section, earlier on this season, there was a incident where there was an argument because of certain fans shouting, you know, racial slurs. So it has happened in Palace End.
Okay.
But it's not targeted to that Palace place. But I've heard something, yeah.
Yeah, well, so it's arguably not the primary concern. But no, I take your point. I think, James, on your point of we would speak up if we saw someone around us doing this, that's a really good point. And we would all love to think that we would. And I'm sure that you, for one, would. But there are so many different complex little angles with that as well, not least safety. I mean, there was one reported example this season where a Spurs fan was allegedly shouting racial abuse at his own player, Heung-min Son, and another Spurs fan took him to task for that, quite politely, but said, listen, do you mind? It's 2019, not acceptable. The guy turns around, starts berating the guy who's had a word with him and this guy's tiny infant son. So the people who are doing this are so horrible that it's not even a straightforward thing to approach them, I suspect.
No, it's difficult because unfortunately football does attract unsavory characters. It is just that game. And yeah, over the years we've got rid of quite a few hooligans or whatever you want to call them, racist thugs. But there is still a minority there, and there probably always will be. I mean, look what's happened in Portugal recently. It's ridiculous. But I don't know. I mean, personally, yeah, I think I'd think twice if I took my two children along with me about having confrontation. But if I was on my own, I'd certainly like to think that I was brave enough to sort of call out somebody.
I think that is the key to it. As a society, supporters, as members of society, we do need to call out all this abuse at any level, be it racial, sexual, refophobic, whatever you want to call it. I'd certainly hear a lot of that. It has become more and more unacceptable. And, you know, having been to a few more games around the country, I think most teams, fortunately, have black players in their side now, or have some sort of racial mix. And I think it's just generally unacceptable here. We've seen it in Eastern Europe where England have played. And at the end of the day, it's down to society and other supporters, you say, to call it out. As well as UEFA actually taking a stand on it, the FA. That's part of the problem as well. They've got to have zero tolerance.
One of Zaha's comments is particularly interesting. He's talking about these guys who he's alleging are racially abusing him. He says, and then when you leave, what? You're back to being a normal dad working a normal job. People mask this stuff. Do you subscribe to that idea that, you know, a racist isn't obviously going to be a racist? We will have people who we think of as nice, respectable, normal members of society who go to the football, get a bit overexcited and behave in a way that is completely abhorrent.
100%. There's people out there that go to stadiums, but when it comes to outside of the stadium, they don't have the same energy. And it's just the fact of, what I think is that they go in the stadium and they feel like they've paid ticket price, so they've got this entire but it's just bang out order. But it's so true. It's like with social media, them people on social media, they won't go out on the street to Wilfried Zaha and say the same things.
I think he's totally right. Some people, when they get behind the wheel, become a monster, road rage, the whole thing, you know. I think he's spot on.
I think it's just really, really troubling that this is still happening. And we saw it a lot this season. We saw, of course, the allegations of abuse against Raheem Sterling, which were, of course, first denied and then apologised for. We saw the throwings of banana skins at Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. This is something that our game does still have to work on. And I think James's point of us being self-regulating as fans. Of course, where it's safe, don't put yourselves in danger. But if it is safe to have a word, not to attack, but to educate, that is a really good thing for all of us to do. But coming up here on the Crystal Palace Fan Show, we've got some retained and released lists coming out, not least Crystal Palace's. We'll have a talk about some of the players the Eagles have let go. And there are some old fan favourites who could be available on free transfers as well. Would you have them back?
This is Love Sport. Sport.
You're listening to the Crystal Palace Fan Show here on Love Sport Radio. You're with me, Johnny Burrow, and of course Mitch Thomas, James Howard and DR Kernas of Back of the Nest. And it's time to talk about Palace's retained list and, of course, the released players as well. We're hearing that Jason Puncheon is on his way out of the club after signing initially on a loan basis in 2013, then permanently in 2014. You sad to see him go?
In a way, but it's the right time.
I think he was. His career's been dwindling a bit at Palace, and he wasn't really performing at the levels we were used to. And he was losing his place in the team. People were being frustrated watching him play. He got the loan out to Huddersfield. But, I think we need to move on.
Yeah, I don't think Roy rates him anyways. I thought he had a decent pre-season last season. It's one of those things where if the manager doesn't like your playing style, there's no point of him even staying here.
I think he's struggled to get in ahead of the midfielders we got at the moment. Yeah. So for him, he'd be frustrated. So probably more of the player wanting to go as well, to be honest.
Do you think he's got much of a future in the game? He's 32 now. He was on loan at Huddersfield this season, but only made 6 appearances in the league.
Yeah, I think he had a bit of a bust-up with the manager there. Didn't play for a little while and he got back into the team, but I think they're pretty much already relegated by then. I think off the field he's had some problems, hasn't he? There was something in the news at a nightclub or something.
Yeah, various allegations.
Yeah, before the loan deal. That's like last year, wasn't it?
Yeah, but you know, you have to wonder if his attitude's right, etc. And then when you go to another team and you're a loan player and suddenly within the first couple of months you're not getting on with the manager, that doesn't quite sound right. So there might be, you know, for us as Palace, we probably think, do you know what, yeah, we're happy just to let the contract run out. And then for another team, they'll be looking at those issues and thinking, do you know what, can we take a risk? He's 32. Yeah, maybe a drop down to Championship. Well, he'd be a very good player for Championship.
I don't feel like he's done and dusted. I feel like he still can play a decent level, which is not at Palace. And Huddersfield, as James mentioned, there was issues off the pitch. So yeah, I feel like he's still a decent player and you could go to a Championship side or maybe one of the newly promoted Premier League sides. Maybe they might want to take him as a squad player experience.
He might go back to Millwall.
Yeah, that could happen as well, but they're nowhere near.
Do you remember when he scored a hat-trick against us? Did you go to that game?
I don't think so, but I know the stories about it. I've heard about it.
And he scored a hat-trick as a lone player. Yeah, and that game got George Burley the sack. Yeah. Poor old George.
Other players on their way out. Sacco is leaving the club, has left the club.
Bakary, I hope.
Yeah. What went on there?
Well, yeah, that's a good question. What did go on?
Did you say we only signed him on a short-term deal anyway for the summer from January?
So. Yeah, it was a loan deal. Yeah. And it was so weird. I thought him coming in, he would get more game time because right before he did leave us, he had a decent run and he scored a couple of goals. So Roy did get the best out of him. So I was surprised with him not really getting involved. I remember, I think, one game where he came on for 5 to 10 minutes. But that's really it. So I was surprised by the decision not to.
Yeah, I've always thought I think he's good when he comes on as an impact player. Really do. Yeah. He's got a tremendous shot on him.
Oh yeah, obviously.
And he's very, very,
very energetic,
forward attacking.
As well, yeah.
I think I personally think that we probably needed to just shore up the squad in January. Mm. We were getting a few injuries, and they probably thought he's available. Just pay his wages, and that's it till the end of the season. And maybe not in the long term plans.
Yeah, so I'm not that surprised due to how he didn't really play, but when he initially came in, I thought he would get some game time.
Yeah, he didn't, did he? It's surprising that. Yeah, not. I think he did get a few minutes, but nothing really to write home about.
And there are, of course, some Palace favourites who've been released by their respective employers who are available. Johnny Williams, no future at Charlton, it turns out. He's 25, but he has had significantly more than his fair share of injury problems. Joe Ledley is available. He's now 32. And, of course, Mile Jedinak, 34, let go by Aston Villa. Just sentimentality if you had them back.
No, I'm sorry, we can't have them back. Me personally, I don't know about you guys, but I personally don't want it. Johnny Williams, injury prone. Look, he had so much potential, and I still love Johnny for what he.
Thank you.
What he's done. Yeah.
I'll be honest.
Yeah. But getting him back to the club, I don't think that's the right move.
I mean, if you turn around to me and you said, look, on a pay per play basis, and I still rate him as a good player. But yeah, tying him into a longer term contract is high risk. Yeah.
And also, where does he rank? Because Max Meyer's still coming off the bench. Exactly. So where is he going to rank? And the pay by play, I doubt that will happen because he really doesn't.
And you've got to remember, he's taking up a squad place that could be filled by somebody else.
Yeah.
And I think we need to just move forward.
Just forget who it is. He's got released by Charlton.
Yeah.
Like, that's telling. If he's got released by Charlton,
I don't think he hasn't been technically released. They just signed him till the end of the season.
Right.
On a contract or a loan deal, I think, with Palace. But the contract with Palace was due to run out at the end of this season, gone. Mm. But they allowed him to go early and on a loan deal to the end of the season. So technically, he'd left Palace. Maybe Charlton just don't have the money to afford him, because from what I'm reading in the newspapers is there's quite a lot of clubs, championship clubs, queuing up for his services. So he's obviously in demand.
Yeah, proven international as well.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Wayne Hennessy's as well with Wales, but yeah.
He's actually playing at the moment, Wayne Hennessy, and he's keeping a clean sheet. So be careful what you say. It's Wales 0, Hungary 0.
Yes.
Was that Joe Ledley, I thought? No.
Just a bloke with a beard, I think. Yeah. So you wouldn't be having these guys back?
No.
I would. I'd have Johnny back. I'll stick my neck out and say, yeah, do you know what?
Take a punt.
I would. I'd have him back.
Yeah, do you think he'd come back?
There's more pressing positions than centre and midfield. Yeah,
can Johnny Williams play right back?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, or left back.
I've never seen it. I guess you could try it.
You could always give it a go. Well, as a final note, we come to the end of the show. It's been a stormer. We've been talking, of course, about Aaron Wan-Bissaka. I need a yes or no from all of you. Is he staying?
No.
Mitch?
No.
And James?
Oh, heart says yes, but head says no.
Sounds like it's good night to Aaron Wan-Bissaka. Join us next week on the Crystal Palace Fan Show. Will he still be around?
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates are round. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.